I hereby call to order the regular meeting of the Camberney Community Services District Board of Directors. Would you please join me in reciting the Pledge of Allegiance? We have a quorum. All five board members are present. And I do not have a formal president's report. And I'll briefly, hopefully, we don't have a long agenda, so there may not be that much agenda to review. But in the agenda review section right now, I'm going to ask any board members if they want to move or postpone an item on the agenda or remove it. And seeing no suggestions, I'll move on to board member communications. This is when individual board members can report briefly on the activities. They can ask a question for clarification or make an announcement. Director Dean first.
Okay. I just wanted to let people know that the California King's Tide Project is happening again November 15th to 17th and December 13th to the 15th. And the Coastal Commission is asking people to take photos of the high tides and send them in to the Coastal Commission. So there's an explanation on their website on what causes sea level rise and what the king tides have to do with it, and it's very much worth reading. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Director Farmer.
Thank you, President Gray. So I have an announcement here that I think is going to be something for the ears of all folks that love nature and are grateful to be living here in Cambria. I think you all know about Green Space, the Cambria Land Trust, and they have a speaker series, and the speaker this coming Sunday that they're thrilled to welcome to Cambria is Obie Kaufman. And he's identified as a naturalist, an author, an illustrator, a poet, an eco-philosopher, and his heart is clearly in California. He's written the California Field Atlas, a guide to the state's ecology and geography. It features hundreds of his watercolor paintings, as well as maps and wildlife and other aspects of nature. Mr. Kaufman presents the natural world from a unique, multidisciplinary perspective, boldly blending science and art to explore and present a broad and deep understanding of California. He wrote the California Land Trilogy, three volumes exploring the forests, coasts, and deserts of the West Coast. So if you're interested in seeing Mr. Kaufman, he's going to be at the St. Paul's Episcopal Church this coming Sunday, October 20th at 5 p.m. If you'd like to reserve a seat, that's on 2700 Eaton Road. Probably most folks know that. If you'd like to reserve a seat or more than one seat for this really cool, I think, really cool presentation, you can just email admin@greenspacecambria.org, or you can call the office at 805-927-2866. The suggested donation is $10 per person. And this sounds like a delightful way to enjoy a late Sunday afternoon connecting with nature and a lot of other people around you that feel the same. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Any other directors? We should make an announcement. Okay, we'll move on to the public safety reports. Sheriff's Department is Commander McDonald here. Online? On Zoom?
No.
Okay. I think we have, do we have a written?
Yes.
We do, yes, thank you. Yeah, on page three of your agendas, there's a his normal written report, so if anybody has any questions, he will be here next month, hopefully. We'll go on then to fire. Chief Berkey, please present. Thank you.
Good afternoon, President Gray, members of the board, members of the staff, members of the community. I have the Fire Chief's report for the month of September. So in the month of September, we had a total of 76 overall calls, one fire, 49 rescue and emergency services incidents, one hazardous condition, 11 service calls, 10 good intent calls, and 4 false alarms. That's it. That's a very brief and overview of the, I know there's a lot more information in there. If I have any, I'm open to any questions for about the entire report. But.
Well, thank you, Chief Brookie. Any questions from the board members? Director Farmer first.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, Director Dean.
Hi. You give us a lot of data. And I'm wondering how much data the board really feels they need, because I imagine this is taking up a lot of time for you. I kind of like the way you just did your report, but also it's helpful to know on these calls, like you do in this data sheet, how many of these calls were residents of Cambria and how many of them were visitors to Cambria. It's kind of nice to know that, but I think, I don't know how the rest of the board feels, but I think that putting all of this data on your website and then giving us the type of report you just did, I would be happy with. I don't know about everybody else.
Absolutely. And that, I'm sorry, jumping in there.
Vice President Scott.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. I agree. I agree that there's a lot of information here that I would say software generated, and I think for you to cut down on that would be great. The other thing is, I was wondering, I think your stats kind of get skewed when you add a partial month of October, so I would just do by the month, trying to give you a break here and not give you a lot of busy work to do. So thank you for the report.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Dr. Thomas.
Thank you, President Gray, and thank you, Chief Berkey. And would it help to have some collaboration on kind of sorting out what the directors and public are looking for? Because I mean, you're really putting a sincere effort into providing data, and that shows. And I mean, is it clear enough what the path forward is, or will you appreciate some help?
Give me one more opportunity to present something to you, and then I'm currently working with staff to create something exactly what you're talking about. So I've recognized that is a lot of information that frankly is nobody really cares about, to be honest, other than the people at the fire department. You know, we look at those things and we have the ability to, or I have the ability to evaluate some of those stats. I do feel like it's important to put it on the website just so it's available. But presenting it to you guys in a much simpler format, I think would be
well, thanks. And given
necessary.
The direction of your gesture, you're highly likely to be successful. And the other question I had is just what can you share regarding the incident that happened on the Fiscalina Ranch Preserve Bluff a week ago Sunday?
Yes, so that was a cliff rescue incident that happened where I believe it was a toddler, aged child went over the
nine-year-old.
Oh, apologize. Yeah, 9-year old. Went over in a stroller, and then the father, in an attempt to help that child, ended up going over the cliff as well. So both ended up having minor injuries at the end of the day. It was an extraordinarily coordinated effort by our fire department, as well as Cal Fire, H-70, the CHP helicopter, and Mercy Air. So there was a lot of different entities that were involved in that, and I couldn't have been prouder of our team for sure. So, and then at the end of the day, victims were not, severely injured. So, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Any more questions from the board? Is there any public comment on the fire report? And by the way, we will have the sheriff report because Commander McDonald's here. But first of all, to take comment, Ms. Dickinson, you can be seated. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Tina Dickerson. So after about a 30-second report from the fire chief, you all decide, apparently, that that's good enough. But what about people who are attending via Zoom, who want to go back maybe and watch the video, that they have to go through the entire packet to find out what's going on or what has gone on in their community? That is not good enough. It is simply not acceptable. And I can't believe that the five of you would agree to this on representing the community. Doesn't the community have a right to say something? Maybe put a questionnaire. A 30-second report is not good enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment from people in attendance? Any other comment online?
No.
Okay, thank you. Chief, did you want to say anything else?
Thank you guys very much. For, and all, again, we're working on the direction of the report, and again, all of that information, the more detailed information that we have, it's always going to be available on the website. So that's always going to be available for the public and ourselves to evaluate.
Thank you. Now, circling back a little bit to the sheriff's report, Commander McDonald, welcome.
Mr. President, sorry for my tardiness. Members of the board, staff, members of the public, my report for September 2024. The Sheriff's Department in Cambria responded to two assault and battery calls. One was a battery call, one was domestic violence related. There were 18 disturbances. Six of those were general disturbances, five neighbor disputes, three loud music complaints, two party calls, one report of a fight, and one fireworks call. We had two burglaries in September. One was a commercial burglary and one was residential. There were eight thefts reported, three of which were grand thefts, three which were petty thefts, and two were shoplifting calls. There was one vandalism to a vehicle reported. We had no mail thefts reported. As far as scam activity, we did have two calls for service related to scams, and I want to just expand on these two very quickly. One was an unfounded scam. It was suspected to be a cell provider scam. The victim had gotten some communication from their cell phone provider and became concerned that it maybe wasn't actually from the provider. So the deputy did respond out and worked with that person. They actually determined it was a legitimate communication, and that person was able to resolve it with their carrier. So I wanted to highlight that so that the public feels very comfortable calling us. If there's any question, we're more than happy to help you work through and determine whether or not it is suspicious behavior and maybe what next steps are to make sure that you don't follow a pathway that will lead to victimization. Because we will always tell you, don't respond to this attempt to reach you. Let's call back on a known good number to your provider. And then through that route, we're able to confirm that it's a legitimate request and that that you can act on it without become a victim of fraud. The other one was a Craigslist rental scam. And we see this quite frequently. You know, as the costs of rent are going up and up, people are desperate to find housing at a reasonable cost. And so there are people who will go on Craigslist and they'll list an address for rent. Usually what they'll do is they'll copy a legitimate ad for a rental, but they have no connection to that rental. People will reach out to them and say, I'm interested in renting. They'll have them send deposit money and, you know, we'll get you the keys. A lot of times they never hear anything. Other times the victim will go to the location, be met with a homeowner or a legitimate representative that says, I don't know what you're talking about. And we're talking about people putting down, $2,000-$3,000 deposits just because they're desperate to get housing. So I do want to caution people that Craigslist is be very cautious moving forward and never never pay deposits and things up front until you've actually sat down and signed some kind of a contract for rental with the legitimate owner. We had 9 suspicious circumstance calls. That was 5 suspicious circumstances, 2 suspicious vehicles, and 2 suspicious persons. There were 19 enforcement stops made by the deputies working in the Cambria area. That included 17 vehicle stops and 2 pedestrian stops. 12 preventative patrol activities, including 6 parked vehicle checks, 5 on-site activities, and 1 foot patrol. That concludes my report, and I stand ready for any questions or concerns.
Any questions from the board members? I think Vice President Scott.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Thank you so much for the report. I do have a question because the number in the column where it shows each of the individual situations, the total is 73, and up at the top, the calls for service are 53. So is there like some of the things on the list, is that more than one thing or?
Yeah, so the numbers up at the top refer to calls for service generating report numbers, and then many of the things that, like the enforcement stops, quite honestly, many of the things in that report don't generate a crime report.
Okay.
So that's the difference.
Thank you.
Director Farmer.
Thank you, President Gray. Yes, Commander McDonald, under thefts, or that you had 8 there, and you said 3 were grand thefts. Could you elaborate just a little bit?
I cannot tell you the specifics about those. However, a grand theft is characterized by a loss value that is more than $950,
right,
and a petty theft being under $950 loss.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Director Dean.
Thank you for your report. Very informative. And if I may veer off just a hair, this is the type of report that I was suggesting for the fire chief. Instead of all this data in here, doing a report more along the format of what you're doing, you know, where you're providing extra information, but it's one page here.
Right.
Thank you.
Commander McDonald, can I ask you the location of the fireworks enforcement event? Could you provide where those fireworks
were? I will get that back to you.
Okay.
I don't have it with me right now.
Perfect. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, I had a quick question about the burglary reports. Especially residential burglaries are actually pretty uncommon, I think, in Cambria. I just want to know, is there more you can say about that as to when it happened, if it was something that was a stranger, breaking into a house, or was it something that was, maybe a little less disturbing to people to think about?
When I wrote these stats, it was about a week and a half ago, and my tardiness today was because I was tied up right up to this, so I didn't go refresh my recollection. I seem to recall that this may have been a report of item missing, mm-hmm, without explanation. And so we'll get a lot of that. Sometimes we'll get a call where a piece of jewelry or some cash or something is missing, and Maybe they've recently had windows cleaned or some other handiwork done in the house. And so we'll get that call with a lot of times, you know, the person suspecting that the person who came in to do work or whatever may have stolen that item.
So it's not necessarily, you know, breaking and entering, evidence of breaking and entering, things like that. Not necessarily. I mean, yeah.
Not necessarily. Right. The elements of or definition of burglary is entering into a dwelling or a building with the intent to steal or commit any felony. So, so we put together the fact that there's a missing item. And even if there's not any forced entry, it would still be a burglary.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Commander McDonald. Any other questions from the board? Seeing none, I'll open this to public comment. Is there anybody who wishes to comment on this report here in the hall? Ms. Dickinson? Yeah, please.
So, Tina Dickinson, what has been really unusual, and it wasn't in this last report, but on Park Hill we've had some incidents. The house next door to me, an intruder got in at 9:15 p.m. and unfortunately in a way, the owner was not there, but she's an elderly woman, lives alone, and she has a camera though inside. No outdoor cameras, but an indoor camera that did record this gentleman going through some drawers, and she shared the video. My husband and I went over to be with her because it was after she found out, and she reported it to the sheriff. She even got a detective to look into it. So after that, there was a rash of burglaries on Park Hill, one on my street and another on a few streets over. And so we kind of wondered if the person who had intruded in the house next door may have been responsible, but I don't know. But to think that we're not having burglaries occur is really not, I mean, at least on Park Hill. I think they were all reported. But as I said, that was like maybe 3 or 4 months ago. And then we have an individual who moved in who decided to steal plants, was stealing plants from just people's yards, and when we were away, some of our plants went missing. So he stole $8,000 worth of plants from our nursery in Orange County, and he's on trial for that. So, yeah, we have folks in our midst who we wouldn't think would be capable of doing this, but apparently they are. Okay. Just to be on the lookout.
Thank you very much. Any other comment from those in attendance? Any comment online?
No.
Thank you. Commander McDonald, do you want to say anything else?
No, that concludes it. But Ms. Dickinson, thank you. I've made a note, and certainly I'll go back to that time frame and see if there's any appropriate follow-up that we didn't complete.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Now we can move on to public comment. This is the time of the meeting for comment on items that are under the board's purview but are not on today's agenda. And this includes items, in other words, items on the agenda include items related to or comment related to the closed session item at the end. So those would be taken up at the end of the meeting. So this is for anything not on the agenda that is germane to the CCSD's responsibilities. I have two slips submitted, one from Christine Heinrichs. First, welcome.
Thank you, Christine Heinrichs, Cambria. At last night's North Coast Advisory Council meeting, several members asked Mr. McElhaney and Director Thomas to explain the workings of the CSD to the public to give Cambrians the background and information they need to participate in local government. This is a worthy idea, and I encourage them to make the initial presentation at the November NCAC meeting as requested. One member mentioned that he is unable to decipher the district's confusing communications filled with unexplained acronyms. Cambria needs to discuss water supply and growth. The public needs to understand what the CSD's role is and how the EWS, SWF, WRF figures into it. Why a coastal development permit is needed? What's holding it up? Mr. McElhaney and Director Thomas had reasons why they couldn't make a basic presentation about local government. They wouldn't have time before the next meeting. Maybe they need to apply for a grant and hire a contractor, etc. Earlier in the meeting, Coastal Commission staff member Devin Jackson made a presentation explaining the Coastal Commission. In about 15 minutes, he provided working knowledge of the commission, his role, and how the public can participate. He included links to documents for those who wish to pursue more detailed information. If he can do it for the Coastal Commission, surely Cambria's board and staff can similarly explain themselves to the community. Albert Einstein is quoted as saying, "If you can't explain it to a six-year-old, you don't understand it yourself." If the board and staff find explaining the district and its water issues so difficult, perhaps this exercise will help them understand their own roles better. I look forward to their presentation, not a litany of excuses, at the November NCAC meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. We also have a slip from Tina Dickinson.
Thank you, Tina Dickinson. I wasn't really planning to be here today, but last Thursday I received a call at 7:30 p.m. from Jeff Hellman. He told me he spoke at public comment regarding a CCSD PRA request to the Coastal Commission made by the CCSD, and it was related to me. I was somewhat surprised to learn that Mr. Hellman had made comments on this item, but I also recognized it was his right to do so. Later in the evening, I watched some of last week's board meeting. I would like to clarify some of the comments Mr. Hellman made. To my knowledge, the board, or at least a majority of the board, was not aware that a PRA request had been made to the Coastal Commission regarding me. I spoke to three directors, none of whom were aware of the request. I left a voicemail several weeks ago with a fourth director, but didn't receive a response. After speaking to Director Thomas, he said he would inquire about it. A few days later, we spoke, and he reported back to me that the general manager said, and this may not be your direct words, Mr. Thomas, or Director Thomas, said that he was frustrated that he wasn't getting a response or responses from Coastal staff. Mr. McElhaney told me, when I asked Mr. McElhaney, that the district wanted to, quote, get a sense of dialogue, unquote. Two different answers. I have never personally had a problem receiving a response from Coastal staff. I want to read to you the PRA request that I then put into Coastal Commission asking for the responses they received from the request that was made by the CCSD. I also asked for the request itself. So from Haley Dodson on May 24th at 2:10 p.m., good afternoon, the Cambria Community Services District is requesting records under the PRA. Please provide any and all records, correspondence, and other documents between California Coastal Commission officials or staff with Tina Dickinson regarding the Cambria Community Services District for the period of January the 1st, 2014, up to the date of satisfaction of this public records request, which was May 24th, 2024. The same language is used in the next paragraph. It's identical, but it identifies Christine Heinrichs, and with her permission, I've been allowed to use her name today. I found it absolutely stunning.
Please know that your 3 minutes are just about up, so.
Well, I find it stunning that this was done. I was never notified. I don't know why it was done. To gather a sense of dialogue, and you guys lost your, apparently Mr. McElhaney said we can't find the documents in our files. I have 10 boxes I would have gladly shared with you.
Please, thank you very much.
It's frustrating.
Thank you. Any other comment from people in attendance? Any public comment online, Ms. Dodson?
Yes, Christina Galloway.
Ms. Galloway, please proceed.
Hi, Christina Galloway from Cambria. I just wanted to thank Matthew and Michael Thomas for taking the time, as always, to be on the NCAC meetings, and just for their patience last night and creativity and, you know, listening and trying to solve problems in partnership with us. So I think I always want to acknowledge that because it's really valued, and I know it you know, meant a lot to a lot of people. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Galloway. Any other people online?
No.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on now then to the manager's reports. Public comment concluded. We'll start with the general manager's report, Mr. McElhenney.
Thank you, President Gray. you have the report in front of you. I'll just give a couple highlights. Mr. Green and staff and myself have been slowly implementing our advanced meter infrastructure with our water meters that, as we know, are aging in the district, and we have, you know, several meters that are manually read each month that are approaching 2,500, 2,600 meters. And so we're starting to see some positives with those incremental meter installs. We were able to detect a leak at a residence who had previously a very large leak, and we were notified within minutes, and staff was out there to stop the leak. And this individual didn't have a flume, so we were strictly using those AMI meters to detect the leak. So that's a positive. Our Ford F-150 Lightning, still waiting for it to get fully outfitted, but it has arrived, and we're looking forward to get that into service. Eventually, once it's fully outfitted, it will be for our on-call operators. So when we talk about limiting carbon emissions, that'll be some of the biggest steps we take towards that, because that vehicle will be going home with an on-call operator every night. So while its use will be high, the carbon footprint will... there'll be a shift in that carbon footprint. So we'll keep the community updated as soon as we get all the racks and everything installed for that. And I'm sure Mr. Green can touch more on that later. As far as the skate park goes, as we know, we awarded the consultant services for design and construction documents to Spawn Ranch. Those should be delivered here within the next 30 to 40 days. Once we have those, we'll work with Civil Design Studios and the county, and moving towards eventually going out to RFP for construction. Once we go out to RFP for construction and that is awarded and those bids come in, we'll really have a sense of what the skate park will cost for construction outside of some of the preliminary costs that have already been spent. And that's an important number as we close in on funding for our grant. So that's an important number to have, and we should have that fairly soon. I will be here Monday from 8:30 in the morning till 7 p.m. At the Vets Hall all day long. So I know a lot of community members had some questions about various different projects within the district, and I'm here to answer those questions. A lot of time Mr. Green will join me. The fire chief will be here as well, so don't be afraid to come by and have some of Director Dean's cookies, coffee, and we'll be here to chat. With your permission, President Gray, I'm gonna move into the facilities and resources report because Mr. Geary had an appointment.
Please do.
Okay. Mr. Eduardo Chavez is our newest maintenance technician, and he came on Monday of last week. He's immediately jumped into his role, working on various different things within the district, from weed whacking, chipping, restroom maintenance, and chainsaw operations. And he's been doing a great job in getting oriented with the district. With that, again, we recognized Mr. Oscar Mora last week with his Excellence Award, and he stepped into a huge leadership role within the district to help train some of these maintenance technicians that are coming on. We have an active recruitment to fill the last open spot within the maintenance technician team. Those interviews were held Tuesday. Two candidates have been selected to move forward with an interview with the general manager, myself. And we should hopefully have that done within the next week or so. And then we'll select that candidate to go through the background checks and all the hiring processes. Santa Rosa Trail has been cleaned for overgrowth with the flailer and weed whackers. And we're glad to see that have been done. Friends of the Fiscally Ranch has worked on the invasive weed removal with our volunteers. And then now that we anticipate the rain season coming, we're going to start working on trail maintenance. our unhoused encampments. There's been several cleanups within the CCSD properties over the last month, and Mr. Geary's doing a great job with that. We have some equipment within the district, maintenance equipment. Now that we're starting to slow down on some of the weed abatement issues, we're going to have a lot of chainsaws and weed whackers going out for maintenance to get ready for the new season. And with that, I'll answer any questions.
Okay, first of all, questions from directors. Mr. Thomas.
Yeah, thank you, President Gray. And you mentioned Eduardo Chavez. I believe that's Mr. Alvarez. Did I get that wrong? Mr. Alvarez.
I just have the notes that David gave me, and it says Edward Chavez or Lalo.
Yeah, he goes by Lalo.
Okay,
And I'll have to check. We have a different last name in the notes, but still looking forward to meeting Lalo. Chavez Alvarez. Yeah, that's what I guess. Thank you, and I look forward to meeting Lalo. Thank you.
Any other questions? These would be questions on both the general manager's and the facilities and resources manager's reports. Seeing no questions from the board, I'll take this up to public comment on item 5A or item 5B. We have a slip from Tina Dickinson on item 5A, which is the general manager's report.
Thank you, Tina Dickinson. What I see in the general manager's reports, because even though I'm not attending the meetings as frequently as I used to, I do read the agendas, and I do read your letters, Mr. McElhaney, word for word. And what I'm finding is repetition of age-old projects. But in the third paragraph is a new project, the Ford 1F50 Lightning truck. But there are no details in these reports. First of all, who will be using the vehicle? Water, wastewater, who? And so I'd like an answer to that question. But, you know, the skate park has been going on for years. We keep getting these updates, but they're the same every month. You could almost write the words verbatim. And so I'm troubled by the lack of details in these reports. And they're becoming less and less detailed. And it seems maybe that's the way the board is wanting to go. I don't know. Do you want information? Because the public certainly does. And I would think. I know I do. So I'm really troubled by this. I mean, it's all about, we're so excited about this. We're so focused on this and we're blah, blah, blah. But I want details. I want facts. Because that's what we're paying for. Not for repetition every month. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more comments from those in attendance? Any comments online, Ms. Dodson?
No.
Okay, thank you. I'll move on to the finance manager's report, item 5C.
Thank you, President. Thank you, President Gray. Is my voice coming through? Okay. On item 5C, we have the finance manager's report, and included in this agenda packet is the expenditure report, and the normal items that I report on are here in this agenda item, and I would say that the administrative finance department has really been focused on keeping up with our day-to-day activities and getting ready for the move that is happening next week. So trying to just keep up on all of those items, as well as preparing the first quarter report and doing our review of all of the activities that have been happening. So somewhat kind of business as usual, keeping the train moving forward, as well as getting ready and prepared for the audit that is going to be happening shortly. And so really focusing on getting all of that information together so we can have a successful audit. And I apologize, but I had left off the attachment for the SST project activity. It is the same as last month. We have not made any additional payments. So that is the same, but I did leave it off. So Ms. Dodson had posted it on the website and done it. And with that, I'm available for any questions.
Just to clarify, these copies of this of the handout are at the table out in front, right? In case anybody wants to see this, the report that Ms. Fritz is referring to. Yeah, any questions from the board members? None? Is there any public comment on this issue from those in attendance or those online?
No.
Okay, great. Move on then to utilities manager.
Good afternoon. Thank you, President Gray. Wastewater, we'll begin with for the utilities report. We bid a fond farewell to Timothy Omar, who served us well in many roles here at the district for over 9 years. Mm-hmm. So he is now retired, and we wish him well in his retirement, and he will be greatly missed. Additionally, wastewater operator Arthur Garney received his Grade 3 wastewater license, which is a very difficult certification to obtain. He is also one of only two triple-certed operators that we have on site, so it's fantastic to have that kind of knowledge and wealth in institutional knowledge that he has on both the water and wastewater side. Additional operators Aaron Moe received his Class B and passed his very difficult driving exam with the DMV, and Christian McManus completed his commercial license training. So a lot going on the wastewater front in recovering from our recent retirement and upgrading some status of operators. The collection system and inspection and cleaning took place for our pre-wet season preparation there at Lift Station A. And we also jetted 1 mile of sewer line. On the waterfront, they kept themselves busy with full line replacements from Meter to Main for Warren Road and the Wellington line replacement. Additionally, I've just received news that we will get our generator installed at the rodeo grounds on June 5th, 2025. There's a lead time of 34 weeks for that new generator. On the other generator front, which is our big over 1,000 kW backup generator for the wastewater plant, that was over a year out, and we'll actually be taking receipt of that next month. Oh. So right now with the supply chain crisis still allegedly in place, stuff's kind of all over the place, but we'll be glad to take that generator. That's something that hopefully we can drop on a pad as soon as we receive it. It won't be hooked up because there's some underground that has to be performed to install that and take away from our old generator. And we're not going to break ground pre-wet season, this close to the wet season, to start doing underground work on that. But at least we'll have it on hand, and that's a good note there. So additionally, if there's any comments that, or questions that you have for me, I'd be glad to receive them.
Yeah, thank you. Right, I'll take, Director Dean first.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm seeing in your report on the permit counter, we have retrofit applications, 12 this year. I just wanted to know, when houses are resold, are we still inspecting to make sure that all of the components in there, though, the sinks and toilets and all that, are to our standards for water conservation?
Absolutely. We are still performing retrofit inspections for every property resale.
Okay. Are you also doing it when I see that we also have 13 year-to-date will serves for vacation rentals? Are these newly permanent residents that are just recently changed into vacation rentals? And are we doing retrofit inspections once those will serves are issued?
Yeah, they are newer properties that are being converted into vacation rentals or that sort of thing. So we do not inspect that, but I would advocate for the board to come up with a resolution to where a will serve is required for this vacation rental, that we go in and do a retrofit inspection on their washing machines, their toilets, and make sure that they're, you know, the ultra-low conservative type.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that would be a good future agenda item to look into that. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good point to raise. I just had a question on that with to actually Mr. Carmel, to our counsel. Is this a municipal code item?
It should probably be codified, I think. It's not a resolution, it's an ordinance.
Yeah, so, but it's good to know. It's a good thing to bring up. I mean, a good thing to take up later. Thank you. I think Vice President Scott had a question.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to show my ignorance here. On page 17, will you explain those two pictures to me, please?
Okay, let me, I don't have the, I have it.
That's the first page of your utility.
Fantastic. Okay. So that is our very, you know how we have those three finishing ponds? That's our treated, finished wastewater that we pump out to our percolation ponds. So that is actually the valve that isolated the western and the eastern valve, or eastern sed basins there. That's what isolated those two. So when we drained those and cleaned them and went to put them back into service, we were unable to open that because it had broken into place. So that was a good, I think, 17 feet below the surface there. It's a very deep pond. Those three ponds are over 1 million gallons of volume of storage for treated wastewater. So that was 17 feet down. That was performed in-house, ordered parts, received it, and then installed it then last September during the month. So, yeah, that's actually just an isolation valve. But, yeah, that's Superintendent Artho down there making the repairs himself. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you. Dr. Farmer.
Thank you, President Gray. I have a few comments or questions from Mr. Green. So first off, on page 21, this is something minor, but this is under jetting data.
Yes.
And so the first three items are the Ramsey Canyon easement, and it says trunk. And now the others are sewer lines. Sewer lines, fairly self-explanatory. So what does trunk mean?
So that's a larger, like, transmission main, essentially. So a trunk line has no laterals into it off of surfaces.
That, and that means?
No lateral. So that's, you have your sewer line here, you have a house here. Your lateral is what goes from your main drain into the sewer line.
Okay.
That's considered lateral. So a trunk line has no laterals connected to it. It's what moves the majority of the volume, and those are your larger lines. So those are your 12 to 16 to 18-inch pipes, whereas your sewer lines are usually 6 to 10.
Okay, hopefully other people understand what you just said. But I think I kind of get it, so thank you. that's my problem, not yours.
Director Farmer, it's the majority of that is just the size.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
On page 29, with regard to the pilot project for the zero liquid discharge for the brine waste, so it states here, staff anticipates the pilot operation occurring the last week of October. I'm getting the feeling that that's not correct, that it's going to be a little bit further down the road. Could you explain?
So let's talk ZLD. Again, reference. Well, let's talk zero discharge, zero liquid discharge project, or pilot. Again, I'll reference supply chain ordering and difficulty. Global Water was putting this together, had some difficulty in obtaining certain parts and fittings for the completion of this treatment trailer, which led to the delay in inspection and approval by NAWI of this trailer, and it wasn't going to happen. This was not going to be completed till December. We are not permitted to run our preventive maintenance runs in that month. And it isn't an ideal time to run a pilot. Usually we get rain by then. Our raw water isn't as concentrate as it is later in the summer. So we want to operate this pilot test with the true raw water source that we will be treating, in the future, or at future times, or future seasonality-based operations. And so with that respect, we've given everything as far as substantial confirmation determination to county. We've worked with James Bishop of Regional Water, been in contact with Jason Cunningham and Jeff Densmore from DDW, Division of Drinking Water. So they have all the information they need to issue us a temporary permit or, this pilot operation. But we are not going to operate this until next summer when it's more seasonally appropriate. This will give us some more time to vet this, and if they have any more questions or concerns, that is, our regulatory agencies have any more questions and concerns, we can address that directly, and we'll be better prepared than next summer.
The reason I brought this up was not to be critical of you or Utilities Department, just to get some clarification as to why it's not happening. And as you just said, it's the supply chain and not getting what's necessary to operate it now, and therefore won't be taking place until the weather allows for it.
Right. Exactly. I think this allows us to better prepare and better arm our regulatory agencies with the facts and the data that they need and requesting.
All right, thanks. And one more question. On page 33 at the bottom with regard to the water loss report, and I believe I understand what you were saying there with regard to the overlap of getting meter readings, and it's becoming a little bit difficult because there's more meter readings that need to take place. So the water loss percentage for July and August, it says here 17.5%, but you're remarking that perhaps it's not that high. Can you give us perhaps another ballpark figure that might be more correct?
Well, I'm basing it off of our 2024 water loss, which is actually the calculations that we send, consumption and authorized consumption versus net water production. And we have some higher rates here. A lot of times, even though we capture the amount of a water loss, like the Main Street leak or the leak that we had on state parks, that's still an unaccounted for loss. So that still has to come out of our calculations here. But just on basic billing versus consumption reads, that longer duration. So basically, we're basing this on through the years. I mean, I've explained this ad nauseum to all you guys, so I'm sorry if I have to repeat myself. But as we grow more manual reads and the duration of this read cycle takes longer, it's reflected in our water loss. So what I'd ask the board is to give me 3 or 4 months to get this AMI operation fully operational so we can get data recording on the 1st at midnight and then ceasing on the 30th at 11:59, and then we can gather accurate data and approach this water loss, if there is that great of a water loss, more effectively.
Well, if I could just make one more comment, and thank you, Mr. Green. With regard to, and this might not even be applicable to what you just were talking about, but the fact that as infrastructure, our water, what delivers the water is infrastructure gets older and there's more leaks taking place, that could be contributing to increased water loss as much as anything. And I want to comment, because I know we read it every month, how competent your staff is in getting out there and addressing these issues, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not happening on an even more frequent basis, right?
So annually, we have a leak detection, a separate consultant that comes in and physically does ultrasonic checks and looks at all 67 miles of our distribution system for water. So we've had 2 complete leak detections performed in the last 18 months. Mm. And they found nothing in our system. What I would probably contribute this to is our aging meter, the brass. We are replacing the registers so we know a good starting point on where to start the brass replacement. So I think this 1 or 2 or 3% incremental increase you see in water loss is probably due to that meter body that needs to be changed out. But again, we're starting with registers, so we have a location point. We're just not going to, you know, shotgun scatter across the community here and start to replace. We want to have a approach and a methodical approach to where we need to replace and where our gross under reads are and so forth.
All right. Thanks very much.
Very good.
You, Director Thomas.
Thank you, President Gray. And I shouldn't say apologies, but I've got about a dozen questions and comments. But, you know, first, you know, beautiful, you know, the snazzy update to this report. But then as I'm reading through it, I find my eyes distracted by the watermark. Check with others, but I would lose the watermark. Pretty trivial.
I've had nothing but positive reports on it, so you'd be my first. But, you know, we'll acquiesce to whatever you whatever you
just
request.
Just one data point of many. Again, trivial. Also, not a big thing, but you know, whenever I get to the lift station B1, the lift station A, I always stop, pull out my note, look at my. I've got a list of the lift stations I know, so I can find where they are. what would be handy is in this report when you say lift station B1
cross
say,
streets
at 10 City. Right. Right.
And I do apologize for that. For us, it's just ingrained in us. We say B1 and we automatically know our B4 or Green Street. So, yeah, I will definitely put cross streets in to give you a better point of reference.
Yeah, totally understand.
I think Director Dean has also asked for that before, so I apologize. But, yes, that's something we can definitely add to it.
And I've got my little list, but I don't expect every member of the public to do the same.
Very good.
The page 18, let's see, where are we? Additionally, we'd like to suggest that reminder cards with information, the comment about keeping the meters clear. Let's see.
Yes. The
I'm sorry.
Domestic meters.
Yeah, the reminder to not dispose of stuff that comes up the works into the rental properties. And I don't know if it's a good idea, but I mean, these are great ideas here. And I just wanted to ask, does it make any sense to have a booth at the farmer's market, perhaps meeting with the Visitors Bureau because they influence communications? Just thoughts.
We thought about card in VRBOs. The hotels on Moonstone aren't such an issue anymore. Honestly, we've seen a resurgence since COVID of the hand wipes getting flushed down. Mm. So we'd love to put a billing insert in to say, you know, remind you of conservation and remind you what and what not to flush down your toilet.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Just want to get ideas out there. Page 19 on the SST. Project, ECM updates. Mm-hmm. Every month information is about the same in these reports. Maybe a conversation, maybe it's a future agenda item, I don't know, but we should talk about what information we want to see from these reports, because for me, this is not it. It's the same words every month, so it's not the current, and just from my perspective, I'd like to see a summary of what work has been completed up to this point, specifically what was accomplished, in this reporting period, what work is remaining, and I don't know, maybe percent complete, and a summary of challenges. These are the kind of things that I would hope to see.
Great. While we're on there, Director Thomas, so initially, it was my understanding, this is kind of listed here to apprise you of what's going on with the SST, kind of like utility director updates for the projects. In purple, we were going to place during that month the activities or events that were performed.
Mm. You're still doing that.
Or would you just like just the events performed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That'd work. AMI installation, right? The discussion about it's again slowing staff down accessing these meters, and there's been conversations. Months ago, as this was coming, I brought up, well, we have an administrative citation program. I hate to say, but let's get tough if staff is being delayed to access a meter, let's use that administrative citation program, and I think that's
right. We just need to find an appropriate employee to do that. I don't know if that would be utilities oriented or whomever, but we could find somebody to appoint. Yes.
Yeah, not the role anybody wants to play. But
honestly, community wide, everyone's really fantastic. I'd say there's three. Repeat offenders with a car over the meter, and we've had dialogue and discussions with these people. Of course, when they have a leak, they want you there right then to get in under the meter box, which is under the car, to shut it off. But so we've had some dialogue. But yeah, I would not be opposed to inserting that program.
Okay, gotcha. So it's small in proportion.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, not not worth bringing up. Mr. Director Farmer already addressed this one. Thank you very much. On page 30, I've been seeing for several months on the Stewart Street Tank Project, the final meeting notes with county planning are attached as attachment 2. Maybe we ought to eliminate that note because I've never found this attachment.
Attachment 2, yeah.
Okay. In the middle of that first paragraph. If we say there's an attachment, let's include it.
We can clean that. I can provide you an update on the Stewart Street projects. I just got some great news yesterday.
Let's hear it.
Talked about last night at NCAC, our consultant has released our CDP to the county, so they have submitted that to our stakeholders at large, and we should have 90% drawings here by December, so we could have the potential to break ground at the first of the year, providing that everything in the CDP process goes well. You know, any appeals or anything like that will obviously slow the process, and any information holds or any, you know, documentations or surveys that we have to perform would slow that as well. But we were pretty prepared going into this. This is one of my, you know, first projects that I kind of took on, minus the grant funding portion of it. So we were pretty prepared going into this. We knew that there'd be the potential for a CDP with that. And again, with the reorientation of the tanks and the amount of dirt we had to move, we knew as soon as we started looking at those figures and that data that we were going to be, it would be a CDP application.
Okay, good news.
So, but yeah, it's right around the corner.
Just a couple more questions.
Okay.
Page 33, under water supply and demand, my brain was hurting when I was reading in the middle of the sentence, supplies have been augmented by the resumption of stream flow at Palmer Flats on December 19. I have to think back. Okay, that was last year.
I know where you're going with this, Director Thomas. So we have to put that is a regulatory requirement by the Division of Drinking Water when stream flow begins and when stream flow ceases for our San Simeons, because San Simeon Well 1 is just a grade 1 level treatment plant. So it is also GWUDI. So it's groundwater under the direct influence of surface water. So when that surface water is flowing in San Simeon Creek, we cannot produce water, divert water, or treat water from San Simeon Well 1.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we put that in there. Again, it's a note that's important to us, our regulators, but if you don't feel it has any value, we can certainly omit it.
Well, it seems it would be of value to us is talk about the most recent date of cessation of flow in and I understand the relevance to well one,
right.
But this is not a report to the Division of Drinking Water. This is for us in the public, and so it might be more informative to hear about the cessation of flow in Palmer Flats. That date would be
very good.
That's the starting gun, but a point well taken. Absolutely. And then at the bottom of this page, good discussion already about the water loss report. And I just want to confirm, I had some decades in pipeline leak detection in my career. And
Of water?
No, for oil.
Okay.
Yeah. But universal with these kind of meters as internal wear increases, there's more bypass, so they measure less. So confirming your point that over the life of the meters, they do register less. So that's a factor. The it concerns me the second sentence where you say the timing of meter readings contribute to making losses appear larger than they are. And in one period, that would be true. What would tend to happen is, unless you have them all on the same time, as you say, if you read 1 month early, then you're going to have less flow. If you read next month more than a month, then you'll have more flow. So those errors would tend to add or subtract month to month. And the basic physics, they could never go in the same direction all the time. So I was just curious.
Director Thomas, that would be under the assumption that we are reading them on a scheduled time, and that time would just be growing, right? Mm-hmm. We don't have, besides the radio reads, it still reads, which is barely 40% of the town, we're sending operators out to take on streets in blocks of areas. So they're not being read in the same pattern mm-hmm. consistently.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay.
Yeah, of course.
I just want to make that clear.
Yeah. Pointing out that the statement that these variations contribute to making losses appear larger than they are, that might occur 1 month, but then the next month they would come back. That would be...
Very good.
Yeah. Thanks.
Again, I'd like to see this. We'll revisit this all once the AMI is up and running. But, and then we can have some real accurate numbers and some data between residential and commercial and water loss and real tangible numbers.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This will all wash up once those AMI meters end. I'm so excited about that project.
So, thank you both.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Director Thomas. I want to make a little point about this question time. We should be mainly asking questions and not getting into lengthy discussions about the report, especially before we've had a public comment. We always can come back after public comment and kind of round things out. Director Farmer, you had a brief question?
A brief comment on something that Mr. Green said earlier with regard to and it's an ongoing problem, obviously, with regard to people throwing flushing stuff down the toilet that shouldn't be happening, and why people continue to do that, I have no idea. However, you were talking about maybe doing a billing insert. I might suggest that you contact, obviously, there's a number of homeowners here or house owners that have vacation rentals. But a number of these vacation rentals go through vacation rental agencies, and we should probably not just include something in a billing insert that goes to a residence, but send something to these vacation rental agencies and tell them of the problem and say that perhaps all your vacation rentals, if you could put something like in the bathroom, a little note as to this is what not to flush down the toilet. I know it sounds like, well, people that have enough money to do a vacation rental should probably be smart enough to know what to flush, not to flush down the toilet, but you get my drift, yes.
Yeah. I like that. I think, to kind of expand on that, if you've ever vacation rental or done it online, there's numerous documents you have to go through and sign off for initial. It'd be great to put a digital document in there that you have to sign off for initial that would kind of give flushing requirements. Or something that's kind of basic or broad, but maybe something along those lines.
Okay. Thank you, Director Farmer. I had just a couple quick questions for clarification. One is on page 30, under the San Simeon Well 3. This is the variable frequency drive installation. Yes. Supply chain lead times for the VFD are pushing back its installation to October. Sounds like it's a little later than that, right?
Actually, I have good news with this as well. We will be receiving this. We were originally going with Yaskawa. We are going with Allen Bradley because those are our controls and our HMI controls, and I won't get into all that. But we will be receiving that next week. SS3 is in operation. Mm-hmm. It's just running at its full capacity. So we use that VFD because, again, it's a slow start. It's easier on the motor. It's easier on the pumps. And we can control the volume at which it diverts or our production volume with that. So we will be installing that next week.
Right. Excellent news. Yeah. Another question I had was on page 33, first paragraph. This number, this percentage caught me up. Caught me up short a little bit. Maybe it's accurate, but this is about the drawing our water drop in San Simeon Basin, and it says here about three sentences down, the CCSD has diverted 3% of our San Simeon Basin dry season allocation. Is that seems like an awfully small amount at this point, or after end of September? Is that true, or is that did the dry season technically start really, really late?
So, runs May to October 31st,
right? Mm-hmm.
And during that time, obviously, we reduced San Simeon pumping. Mm-hmm. We increased Santa Rosa pumping. And so we're going to be probably about 7 acre feet short of our max dry season withdrawal, which is 155.3, mm-hmm. which is kind of why we're having that really low withdrawal for San Simeons, which is great. So we've pulled almost our max out of Santa Rosa, and the creek is still flowing.
Very good.
So that's some.
Those are all my questions. I think I'll turn this over to public comment now.
Sure. Let's see.
I have a slip, one slip from Tina Dickinson, another one from Christine Heinrichs. Ms. Dickinson, go first if you want.
Thank you, Tina Dickinson. I'm just following up, I think, pretty much on Director Thomas's observations from the report, and I want to thank him for taking a great deal of time to go through the report, the agenda, and I don't agree with President Gray. I'm really thankful that a director has taken this kind of time to go through it, which is what some of the public does, and we have 3 minutes. And it is really important. These are items that he brought up that I've got listed here. So I'm not going to repeat everything he brought up, but I want to see updates on the SST, on the water meters, which you went over. But when the rate increase went in, it wasn't for parts. It was for brand new water meters, which would have covered the issues that you were referring to, Mr. Green. I also have would like to know where we are on the hold on the CDP with county. What has been addressed and what hasn't? I mean, there's no information really. Okay, what is it that once county saw what was submitted, then what is it they're asking for? We don't see this, and we need to. The zero liquid discharge, I'll just say I don't agree with everything Mr. Green said about that. I mean, this thing's been going on for, 3 years, and I had questions about it initially. There is no ZLD in the state of California. No permit has ever been issued by a regional board for a ZLD. So again, we're the guinea pig, and you're seeing the signs of us being a guinea pig. The delays, the delays, the delays. And I also, you answered on the Stewart Street tanks. Glad to hear some good news on that, Mr. Green. I have a question on, and I'm going to actually write to you about this. There was an error, I think, in the Stillwater Sciences report, and I couldn't be here last week. But we're not listed in the report for us withdrawing water from San Simeon Creek. The town of San Simeon was listed, but not Cambria Services District, which is really weird, since that's where we get most of our water. So I don't know if it was an error, if it was just a typo, but it's not in there, and I would think it should be. So I think I'll address that to the general manager, Mr. Green, and follow up on that. But it was something that I caught. I think I would just like to see more information, more updates on where we are instead of the repetition every month. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ms. Heinrichs.
Thank you. Christine Heinrichs, Cambria. Yes, thank you, Mr. Green, for bringing us up to date on the zero liquid discharge, because I had heard from another member who's associated with the project that it was actually due to a calibration situation. Anyway, it was taking too long. Anyway, this is good to know, because that's a very important part of the coastal development permit. The project description cites it as the preferred method of brine concentrate disposal. Lacking this important piece will delay action on the CDP application. Without zero liquid discharge, the project description states that brine concentrate disposal will require 3 to 9 truck trips every day. Last night at the NCAC meeting, Mr. Green said that the pilot project was delayed due to these supply chain issues. I'm a little clearer on what is going on with that now, but it's helpful to have the story straight when different people are giving different accounts. The project status summary on page 28 states that the district's biologist, who is not identified, will prepare a third quarter report and present first and second quarter reports in October. This is the last meeting in October, and the biological reports, which are years overdue, aren't here. Who is the biologist now? Has a contract been signed? To include what? The in-stream flow study specifically avoided any actual steelhead red-legged frogs or tidewater gobies. What's going on with these elusive biological reports? Thank you.
Thank you. Any more people wish to comment? In attendance. Please come forward, yes. State your name for the record. Dr. Marla Hagel. Oh, it's good. Yeah.
Dr. Marla Hagel. Oh. I had worked for Illinois Indiana Sea Grant, and my degree is in environmental and marine sciences. So I spent most of my life in the Midwest, but I spent 10 years in Colorado and never was sick on water until I was in Grand Junction. And I started doing research on my own. And there is, a nationwide groundwater crisis problem. And a lot of what's showing up in our water is weed killer, which is copper sulfate. That's not the nutritional copper that we need. And so I don't know all the details about, you know, your situation. I'm back here for the first time in 15 years. I wouldn't be here today if my battery on my car didn't need to be jumped. But anything water, I'm interested in. I'm looking for work, by the way, if you want that biologist. So, but I would say that whatever you're dealing with your water, it seems much better than Colorado. I have to be blunt about that. When you're doing any analysis, I would look for copper sulfate. Because you do have agriculture, and unfortunately some organic farms are putting it in feed for chickens, and I'm not sure the rationale behind that. And I know a lot of agriculture uses copper sulfate because it's cheaper. There's thoughts that it becomes non-toxic in the soil, but that's not true. That's not holding out to be true. So I would definitely look for that, because what it does is cause a whole host of health problems. I'd say over 20 different diagnoses, and it can definitely hurt the kidneys, the liver, and the eyes. I'm just kind of throwing that out there since I'm here. And, you know, keep it beautiful here.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Anybody else wish to comment, who's in attendance? Ms. Dodds, and anybody online?
Oh, yes, Elizabeth Benhausen.
Ms. Benhausen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to make clear from the start that I am an Einstein sensibility of a kindergarten student. And I want you to turn to page 33 of the agenda. And I want you to look at the water loss report. Mr. President, I would like you and the utilities manager to put this into words that a kindergarten student would understand. I want to suggest that a sentence such as "these contribute to making the losses appear larger than they are," and another sentence, "the CCSD will compile and submit its 2003 water loss report for validate later this fall." I want you to put that in words that are clear to a five-year-old. I want you to put the entire paragraph in terms that are clear to a five-year-old. Why? Because we have read the same paragraph now for two meetings and probably more. And I still don't understand what exactly it is you are claiming. Are you claiming that the water use in 2003 was lower or higher? Are you claiming that the water use in 2004 is lower or higher? And which one is accurate, or perhaps they're not accurate at all? I want you to put under the kindergarten report the water loss percentage for July and August was 17.5. I want you to put that into English that is comprehensible to me as a five-year-old. And I want you to say, what is the actual water loss that you will report to the state for those 2 months? I want you to suggest that this reporting is every month rehearsable, and Mr. Green, you were just busy talking, and I will update you on the phone call and the phone call I will make to you. I am tired of this paragraph, and I want it in English, comprehensible to a five-year-old in kindergarten, who's the most intelligent person on God's sweet earth. I'm not putting down kindergarten students. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I think maybe we'll take this up for the next month's report. You know, some of these many suggestions were made about that particular paragraph. I think we can probably deal with that in the next version. Any other?
President Green, I do want to clarify Mr. that Green, is yeah. the 2023 water report. The
2023, yes.
Right. Exactly. I just wanted to make sure that was printed clearly.
Yeah, okay. It was clear. Ms. Dodson, any more online comments?
No.
Okay. I think we're done with the reports. We can continue, hopefully, to the consent agenda. Yeah, we'll get the consent agenda done, I think. Consent agenda has three items, which will be dealt with as one item and with one vote, unless any board members wish to have an item pulled for separate consideration. And if any board member has a quick question on any item for clarification, they can also ask those questions. First of all, does anybody want an item pulled for separate consideration? Director Dean. Dr. Thomas.
Thank you, President Gray. I think there's it would be worthwhile to pull item 6C and have discussion on the climate change policy.
Okay, yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that after taking up the other two as a consent agenda. Any other items that anybody wishes pulled? Okay, any questions on items 6A and 6B for the staff? Director Farmer, yeah, Director Farmer.
Thank you very much, President Gray. So on page 53... under the expenditure report, under Confluence Engineering, Watershed Sanitary Survey Update, a little under $12,000. Just a brief explanation. I think this has come up before. So just to refresh my memory and anybody else's, what is that necessarily about?
Director Farmer, that was the report you received last week, the Watershed Sanitary Survey. That was on the October 10th agenda.
And we had Dan Heimel of Confluence Engineering's present.
Well, that just goes to show you how attentive I am, right? Well, better to, what is that? Better to be silent and appear a fool than to speak. And, you know, well, you get my drift. Yeah. Okay, I'll move on with that from that one.
But, Director Farmer, while we're here, so that's a report those. Sanitary surveys are updated. Those are scheduled for every 5 years. Ours was a little late, so basically that'll be the 2025 report. So by 2029, we'll start to update that again.
Okay, well, obviously I'm a little late also, but thank you so much.
Quite all
so
right.
Just one more thing on page 59, under Perennial Capital, which is the Paradise Tree Service. So we expenditure report, the bill was $199,000. So this one obviously is much less, just 22,000. So I'm wondering, should we anticipate maybe getting another bill from them for all the work that, all the really fine work, I should add that, that they did throughout our community with regard to preventing the possibility of fire in our community?
Thank you, Director Farmer. These should be the last of the invoices, and I'll follow up with Ms. Fritz, but I believe that's one of the final invoices that we see from Perennial Capital or Paradise Tree Service. From here, we start sending out the bills to the lot owners. If those are not paid within a timely manner, then it goes on the county tax roll, and we'll see these monies reimbursed next year.
Okay, and one more, if you don't mind, very quickly. Halfway down page 63, Trupanny Incorporated, the Water Department, Task 1, Project Management, Task 5, sub of inventory and annual updates, just under $6,000. Just some clarification on what that is.
Sure. That was a that was our lead and copper inventory that we performed, that we went to every service individually and saw from meter to main what was the service line material. What was it from meter to the main shutoff for the house at the residential or commercial location? So they assembled all that data for us and then created a queryable report, and that's available with the Division of Drinking Water and also, I believe, on our website as well. But so they were kind of the consultants that helped put all that, you know, battery of information together.
All right. Well, thanks very much, and I'm glad to know that I shouldn't necessarily have been aware of that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other questions? Director Thomas.
Yeah, thank you, President Gray. On page 68, corrections on the minutes. At the top of page 68, in the September 12 minutes, while it's true that Bruce Howard did submit written comment, he was here in person. And so in the comments about the a public comment, it should so indicate that he was here in person. And likewise, Lauren Younger, I don't recall seeing written comments from Ms. Younger, but we did see her on Zoom, so I believe that public comment was okay. Mm-hmm. But she was on Zoom, the public comment at 1:12 p.m. For reference.
Yes, but I don't actually document if they're in person or via Zoom in the minutes. I just document the name and their location.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Bruce Howard did submit written correspondence for the record, and so did Lauren Younger.
But they also spoke, right? Or did they?
I think Bruce Howard did. I don't recall if Lauren Younger did. Believe she just submitted written comment for the record, which was provided to the directors and posted on the website.
I'm quite certain. I reviewed the tape just to check.
Well, Bruce Howard spoke.
Yeah, Bruce Howard was here in person.
But I don't record whether it's Zoom or in person.
Oh. Yeah, I think maybe the confusion here is that it seems like this says Bruce Howard only submitted comment on, you know, written correspondence, though he spoke and also submitted written correspondence. I believe that's the case, right?
Correct.
Okay, so I don't know how you phrase this, maybe also submitted written correspondence or something. How do you do that? It's a question of just, you know, making it clear that he spoke.
President Gray, if the board would like a word added that Mr. Howard spoke and submitted written comment, we can add that. But what Haley, Ms. Dodson, is alluding to is that was written correspondence submitted by these two individuals.
Great, yeah. I couldn't find the written correspondence from Lauren Younger, but I did see it at 1:12 p.m. In the recording.
Yeah.
Also, on page 74, there's a double irony here at the top of page 74. It says President Gray stated it should read. He stated that reading of written correspondence allowed during board meetings, etc. And in this case, the spelling of the word allowed would be A-L-O-U-D because the intent is whether the written comments are spoken. So that would be a correction to the to the correction of the August 15 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. So correction of a correction. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Any other comments? So we have actually two speaker cards. If anybody else, unless anybody else has questions, public comment on 6A. First from Christine Heinrichs.
Thank you, Christine Heinrichs, Cambria. I'd just like to ask why the district now needs three law firms in addition to retained district counsel, resulting in nearly $15,000 in additional legal expenses last month, over and above the $13,500 retainer the district pays Mr. Carmel. I'd also like to draw attention to the district's monthly PG&E bill, this month over $67,000. It's time to consider making the investment to go renewable. Thank you.
Thank you. I also have a speaker slip for Tina Dickinson. Oh, no, sorry, Don Howell. Not sorry, Ms. Dickinson. Don Howell, yes.
Mr. Thank Howell. You. This has to do with the expenditure report. And first, I want to say I love the expenditure report. I enjoy it every time because it's the true picture of everything that's going on in the district, and it often floors me to look at the amount of different things and all those moving parts. However, this is just a question. On page 58, you'll see about three quarters of the way down the page, the payment to Mission Country Disposal. I noticed that it says, which I find strange, is all delinquent charges for 22 to 23 and 23. I just wonder what's happening there.
So we have a process at the end of the year. Mission Country sends me any delinquent accounts, and it comes before the board, and they approve us sending that to the tax roll for collection. I do not know why necessarily it falls on us. That's maybe a more historical legal question, but we submit it to the county, and they put it on the property owner's tax roll, and then we collect it. It gets submitted to us through the tax roll process, and then we submit those dollar values to Mission Country, since they are the agency that's technically collecting those amounts.
If I understood that, because I was kind of thinking it might have been something like that. So what we're really seeing, these are delinquent charges for residents, which...
Correct.
And the district pays those to, because it's outgoing money that's going Correct. To Mission
so,
Country?
Yes, but the money comes to us through property tax.
And then we get
and
it back.
And then we send it. No, we get it before we send it to Mission Country.
I got it. Thank you. Okay. Just wondering.
Yes.
Interesting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Howell. I'll bring this back to the board for this is in the consent agenda on the minutes and the financial report for a motion and action. Mr. McElhenney.
Thank you, President Gray. I believe at one point Director Dean had a question for me in regard to some of the legal fees that some of our public members asked questions about. So Rattan and Tucker is one of those legal firms, but we're all well aware, and it's been said multiple times that we're dealing with some of the SR4 well negotiations, and that should be our final invoice for that. That had to do with some surveying that we finished up. The Municipal Resources Group is not a law firm. It is our human resources contractor. They do have access to lawyers on their team, but they are not a law firm. So let's not get that confused to say that we have three different law firms working for us. Rattan and Tucker will be, again, falling off the expenditure sheet unless for some reason we need their services again for something else, which I highly doubt it. Mr. Carmel is our district counsel. Liebert Cassidy Whitmore handles our human resources issues, so you will see some bills for that because we are in negotiations with both SEIU and IFF. We also have worker comp cases that they specialize in. What you don't see on this expenditure report, which you will see next month, is the retainer for Mr. Carmel went out, but it went out after the expenditure report, so it's not reflected here. However, we are up to date. But next month, you will see two retainer bills for Mr. Carmel, and we did not give him a raise. So you'll just see that noted in the expenditure report. So I want to give everybody a heads up for that. So okay. That should clear up any questions about excessive legal firms on our payroll.
Thank you very much. So, yes, again, go back to the board here, see if anybody has a motion. And I guess we should note in the motion with a correction to the minutes. There's one sort of straightforward correction on page 74. Yeah, why don't you do that? Yeah, just make sure that's somehow in the motion. Go ahead. Director Thomas.
I move that we approve the consent agenda with minor corrections on page 68. Of the September 12th minutes that Bruce Howard had commented in person and Lauren Younger commented via Zoom during the meeting, and separately on page 74 that the spelling of the word allowed in this case is A-L-O-U-D pertaining to the manner in which we will read the written comments.
Okay, thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
It's moved and seconded that the consent agenda be approved with the two corrections to the minutes as noted by the maker of the motion. Could I have a roll call, please?
Director Thomas?
Aye.
Vice President Scott?
Aye.
Director Dean?
Aye.
Director Farmer?
Aye.
President Gray?
Aye. And now to item six.
Could I say
yes,
one
please.
Thing?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. So in the past, have we ever identified if somebody was here? I mean, I think I didn't see that what Director Thomas saw. I saw that these were the people who made comment, and then if they additionally submitted written comment, that was then noted.
No. So the bylaws state that the preparation of the minutes shall attempt to record the names and general place of residence, and that's what I do.
Okay.
And then if they do submit written correspondence, I add that to the end of their name, but I do not document if they're in person or via Zoom.
Okay. And so are we with the way that the motion was made, are we saying that that's going to change? I just need to clarify that.
My sense is that we're still not going to make the distinction between Zoom or in person for people who make comment. I think the question was whether these people also submitted written comment in addition to speaking. I think that's the.
Yeah, my only point is that as I scroll through the minutes, I see Christine Heinrichs commented. It simply says Christine Heinrichs, Cambria. So I know to look at the recording to see what she said. It'll say Christina Galloway, Cambria. Oh, so I know to look at the recording to see what Ms. Galloway had to say. But then when it says submitted written comments for the record, generally that's the case where they don't speak here.
That's not technically true because Christine Heinrichs submits her comments after she
I think
yeah, and they may person. They may do both. It's an indication to me to not look on the recording, but to look forth.
You know, we can take this up later for as a procedure. But my suggestion is maybe we stick with the list of people who spoke either online or in person, and then the following people submitted written comments for the record. It may be the same people, but a little heading of people who submitted comments, written comments for the record, just the two of them together, maybe something like that. But maybe for future, I don't want to, unpack this particular item, but maybe for future we could consider that.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, we'll go on, yeah.
Did I call your name, President Gray, in the roll call?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to item 6C, which is the proposed policy on climate change planning. It's a very brief staff report, but I'll start with Mr. McElhaney, but I think the chair of the policy committee might want to give more of an introduction to it.
Absolutely, President. I'll do a quick introduction and hand it over to the professional. Agenda item 6C, consideration of approval of the CCSD's climate adaptation policy number 1060. There's no fiscal impact associated with this item, and I'll turn it over to Vice President Scott.
Vice President Scott.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President, and also thank you, Mr. McElhaney. This policy is here for the board's consideration. I do have one spelling change, and that is on page 78, the second paragraph. It says the district understands it should be its rather than mm-hmm. it.
Got that, yeah.
It's or it is let's just do its responsibility. And I also think, and commas are one of those things that you really don't know where to put them or where not to put them, but on page 79 in the last line where it says Cambria's natural environmental resources, I don't think there needs to be a comma there after that. So those are the two things. But I do want to let you know that this is really here as a basis, as it says in 1060.2 under policy procedures, it's here as the beginning of documentation of how the CCSD is meeting and working toward improving the climate. So this is real basic.
Thank you. Any questions from the board? Ms. Dean, Dr. Dean.
I think the policy looks really good. You guys did a good job. My question is, when we talked about this before sending it to the policy committee, I think our intention was once this policy was created that the board would create the climate action plan. Is that the intent?
Yes, yes. That is the intent.
Dr. Thomas.
President Gray, I responded to your question, do we have any questions? I have no questions. I have comments.
Okay. I just call for public comment, then we can come back to the board, I think. Is there anybody who wishes to make public comment on the item 6C in attendance here? Ms. Dodson, anybody online?
Yes, Crosby and Laura Swartz.
Crosby and Laura, please. Please proceed.
Good afternoon, President Gray and members of the board. I thought this was extremely well written. It's not easy to pick the right words to describe some of these things. I would certainly recommend approving this without trying to make too many changes. I think it's pretty good just the way it is.
Thank you. Any other comment? Okay, thank you very much. Okay.
Dennis Dudzik.
Oh, Dennis. Mr. Dudzik.
Thank you very much. I absolutely agree with recent comments, and I think this is a terrific step forward for the district, a very bold move, and certainly appropriate at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment?
No.
Okay. We'll turn it back to the board for discussion and possible motion.
And Mr. President, I'd just like to say one thing, that we did have an ad hoc committee that worked on the initial wording of this policy, and that was Mr. Ted Key and also Mr. Jim Tom Townsend. And then they brought it back to the committee, and then we took what they talked about and we put it in this format. So it's really them that we must thank for this policy.
Thank you. Okay, Director Thomas.
Yeah, thank you, President Gray, and thank you, Vice President Scott, and I agree. This is an excellent piece of work. I have a couple other grammatical issues, but then I also have one, fundamental content question that I want to bring up, and under carbon sequestration, when we read the last sentence, encourage participation in and support local governments and any government-sponsored urban tree planting programs in tree planting efforts. It seems like a tripping hazard. It seems like we're saying tree planting twice in the same. This could be simpler. That's the grammatical issue. But then the kind of fundamental concern I have is this in the purpose. The district recognizes the impact of sea level rise on the freshwater storage capacity of the of our two freshwater basins, and absolutely true. Right? And so well, my concern is this is only one of the many aspects of risks that climate change imposes. So we're listing only one of those impacts. And if we're going to list one of the impacts, let's list the several impacts, you know, which include increased severity and variability of weather events, including drought and rain. That's as significant, in fact, and perhaps more immediate than the sea level rise. So mentioning of one and omitting the other is an issue. So I would think that we would mention neither or mention both. And then paragraph two, the first sentence mentions two of the services that we provide as a district, providing water and wastewater services. And there are environmental stewardship responsibilities we have for the other services, which can also be impacted by climate change. So it's those omissions that concern me. If we're going to put this out, let's be complete in those regards.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Farmer.
Thank you. Two comments. First, I want to thank the folks that put this together under purpose on the third paragraph, which is basically one sentence where it states the impact of the climate crisis on the community, because I hear people saying climate change. Well, it's an emergency. It's a crisis. I change my underwear. That's not a crisis. But what's going on with regard to our planet is a serious crisis. So thank you. With regards, it's just a joke. I just try to light things up. With regard to policy procedures at the end, development of a climate action plan is the next step. And I believe that Director Dean brought that up at the June 13th meeting with regard to maybe developing an ad hoc committee to develop a climate action plan. So I just thought, I haven't discussed this with her, but I thought I'd run that by her now and see what she has to say.
I did bring that up a couple of months ago and suggested an ad hoc committee of Director Farmer and Director Thomas. But I think some of these issues that Director Thomas brought up probably could be adequately addressed in the climate action plan.
Vice President Scott.
Yeah. Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Yeah, I wanted to respond to something that Director Thomas said, and that is that I believe it was really important for this document to be very specific to what the CCSD has jurisdiction over. And so that's why we limited what the impact would be. Yes, weather and all kinds of other things. And that, I think, truly would be part of the plan.
Okay. Dr. Thomas.
The district has no jurisdiction over sea level.
Yeah.
No, but it does for their water.
Well, of before, course. Yeah.
And the variability and severity of weather conditions impacts our water supply.
Yeah. There's a little bit of confusion, I think, whether this is an adaptation report or a mitigation. Adaptation or mitigation. Where this is more like mitigation, what we're doing to prevent, climate, worse climate outcomes generally, rather than adapting to the changes that are happening. So I have a couple of comments, comments to cover, but I do kind of see Director Thomas's point about that opening paragraph, that the one thing about sea level rise kind of hangs out there as an isolated instance, but we are just as affected, and it is in our jurisdiction. We're just as affected by the climatic changes, especially heat and drought, in regards to wildfire risk and also forest health, because that's also a direct impact of climate change in this area. So the simple thing to do is to simply not get into it at this point, because it's basically, you know, shorthand, really, you know, basic policy anyway, and just have that first sentence and not try to list everything that we're subject to in terms of impacts. I had a couple of questions, though, a couple of comments on the items under the policy principles and goals. Mm-hmm. First of all, on transportation, a couple of questions. To reduce the overall utilization miles driven on all vehicles and implement fleet-wide hybrid and EV transition for all district transportation needs, I don't know how we can reduce miles driven as a practical matter unless we do things like more Zoom meetings or something like that, because there's not an obvious way we can do that with district vehicles or district activities. I'm saying that might be a little bit aspirational. And on the second sentence of that paragraph, I do think when we say implement the use of electric equipment as soon as available and within budgetary constraints, I don't know if we want to be the first adopters of new technology when it's things like very expensive things like EV fire engines and so forth that might be not really, you know, they can be tested out by Los Angeles, say, that has, you know, hundreds of fire engines that could stand it, but we have one of each. We have very little backup if things don't work out. And these are very heavy trucks are still a very kind of untested technology. I think I would use a word like implement the use of electric equipment as or when appropriate or as feasible and within budgetary constraints. And my other comment is on the carbon sequestration paragraph. I think the first sentence is fine. I do think we get a little too granular here in that second sentence about talking about forest management and sort of a specific kind of, you know, standard for trees, you know, tree size, tree count, selectively reducing dead, highly flammable vegetation. I would just say our general approach, because wildfire especially is the biggest threat of deforestation and forest health, and that forest health is actually something that I think we should leave to professional foresters to tell us the details of. I would just say manage district properties to maintain or increase increased forest health and fire resistance, period, and leave the rest of that one sentence off until we get too detailed and talking about tree count and so forth, because that's not really the purpose of this policy. Those are the things I thought might be smoothed out and made a little more useful for, you know, fleshing out later. Mr. Green.
Fantastic document. I think the only thing that maybe perhaps I'd just add or request, we talk about water conservation, but it doesn't talk about storage. We don't talk about water storage. We kind of hint on the first paragraph mentioned sea level rising as a possible reduction in the San Simeon aquifer storage capacity, which is a potential reality. I don't know if we want to talk on water storage or speak to that, or, you know, offstream storage, or additional domestic storage. Just kind of throwing some ideas out there.
Sounds like part of the climate action
plan. Yeah, I think, yeah.
And okay. I also wanted to comment, yeah. I didn't mention earlier, but I absolutely support Director Dean's suggestion that once we are aligned on and put this policy in place, that the ad hoc committee, as she has suggested, get to work. My deep interest and passion in this subject matter is the reason for wanting to go in some cases a bit more granular. And I think it's important that if directors Farmer and I are working on this, that we have clear direction.
Any more discussion? Dr. Vice President Scott.
Yeah. At this point, there have been several suggestions, and some of them I agree with and some of them I don't. So, I could make a motion with some of them that I think make sense, and then we can have a vote. Does that make sense? Rather than taking it back to the committee.
I have also another idea.
Yeah. Director Thomas.
We could take the board president could assign the two directors who seem the furthest apart and assign them as an ad hoc committee to sort this out and meet in the middle. Just a suggestion.
You mean you and me?
I would be delighted.
I don't know.
I think it's actually, speaking of ad hoc committees, the more important one is the ad hoc committee for the action plan, which actually has been kind of previewed already, but we can get to that in a second.
Yeah.
I would suggest if you making a motion and it stands or falls, we can also amend the motion as it goes. So why don't you go with that?
Okay. So let me do this real quick. Okay. So I move that the board approve the policy climate adaptation policy number 1060 with the following changes. That is to delete the last sentence under purpose and just end that paragraph as impending climate emergency. Mm-hmm. Under 1060.1, policies and principles, under transportation, I would change the last sentence to implement the use of electric equipment as feasible and within budgetary constraints.
Okay.
The other change that was suggested was about the carbon sequestration, and we got input from the community, people who are very much involved in the forest and its health, and they really felt, and the committee agreed, that what was stated here was important. So I would just recommend that the board approve this, or I move that the board approve this with those changes.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Oh, yes. Sorry about that. Is there any public comment from the floor? Yeah.
I may have missed what was going on with Director Thomas and Director Scott, but I think it was Director Dean who suggested that an ad hoc committee of Director Farmer and Director Thomas, and then all of a sudden that got changed, and I would support Director Farmer. I mean, my goodness gracious, the work he's done for so long environmentally and attending the Forest Committee, the Fire Focus, everything. I do not agree to that suggestion. And so as a member of the public, I would ask that Director Dean's suggestion be accommodated. Thank you.
Let me speak to that.
Please, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. And thank you for your comment that I think there may have been some misunderstanding. This is a policy that is a basis for further work on an actual plan, which would then be using an ad hoc committee with. Okay.
I'll mention. I'll address that after the vote.
Okay. So, I know it wasn't clear. I'm really sorry about that. So anyway, any other public comment?
Oh yeah, yeah. Anyone else in the hall here wish to comment? Anybody online?
No.
Anybody else? Okay. We'll move on now. So we have a motion and a second. And just to recap, it's the changes have been duly noted. There's an elimination of the second sentence of the introduction. Also, I'll add the grammatical correction at the beginning of the second paragraph,
yes.
if you will.
Yes.
It's responsibility S after IT. And then on the transportation paragraph, implement the use of electric equipment as feasible and within budgetary constraints, but no change in the carbon sequestration, right? Okay, that's the motion on the floor. A roll call.
Vice President Scott?
Aye.
Director Dean?
Aye.
Director Thomas?
Close enough. Aye.
Director Farmer?
Aye.
President Gray?
No, and that's still only on basis of the carbon sequestration, which I think is actually important, but no, unfortunately. Anyway, so I wanted to say about the ad hoc committee. We actually, when we discussed this, I think it was June, I'd already identified Director Farmer and Director Thomas as members of that ad hoc committee. I think
we did not at that time.
We did not
form.
We did not form the ad hoc committee because we were waiting for this
in June.
I think I can take it upon myself to formally launch the ad hoc committee on the action plan, climate action plan at this point, and begin your work with the staff.
You guys, it's an interesting.
You ready to go?
Interesting what? Choice of words.
Launch
the ad hoc committee.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
And thank you to the committee members for their hard work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we have our last. Actually, there's two items. Get back to the beginning here. I think we have. Yeah, future agenda items, and then we have adjournment to closed session. Any board members want to propose future agenda items? Director Thomas.
I don't know how this is going to play out in an agenda item, but the as was previously mentioned, there was discussion in the NCAC meeting last night, and it was a wide-ranging discussion in the last 30, 35 minutes of the meeting about various things. The need for the public to have a better understanding of how governance works within an unincorporated area with a community services district, you know, CSD 101. From there all the way into getting very deep in issues such as the water reclamation facility, the build-out reduction plan, and how everything works if we get to that point where those things are in place. And so some discussion about potentially having a town hall or a series of town halls to address those. So it seems like something we might discuss at a future agenda in terms of what we might want to bring to the public in this space.
Okay. Thank you. Any other proposals? We might discuss that at one point. There's also potential for, Dr. Thomas's idea, for just as a content of our existing communications going out, general manager report, so forth, maybe a FAQ on the CCSD at some point, just as a additional feature of our existing communication, to see if that helps enlighten people, and maybe going to Cambria, CA, other venues. So, but we'll keep that in mind as a potential topic for future consideration. Any public comment on this item? Any public comment online?
No.
Okay. Our next item is going to be adjournment to closed session. I don't know, Director Carmel, if Mr. Carmel wants to just give the title, we will have public comment at this time, but this is adjournment. Maybe you should make the official announcement, Mr. Carmel.
Thank you, President Gray. The board will now adjourn to closed session for a public employee performance evaluation pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B. The title of the employee is General Manager. Thank you.
Thank you very much. At this point, we take public comment on this topic, and I think we have one. Ms. Dickerson.
Thank you. Always a very sensitive subject. Evaluation of the GM. So
I will say this. I was very skeptical when the board selected a general manager who, as with the former general manager, did not have any previous experience with water and wastewater, and similarly had an existing teaching position. That frustrated me no end that we would actually, or the board, would do that again. I'm also troubled by the lack of details in the GM's reports and his lack of fact-based reporting. I will say, I had one meeting after he had been here for several months in his office along with Haley, and I told him that I would like to provide him with any information that he might be wanting, because for years I have sent comments to all kinds of agencies, as you well know after reading the one that was submitted to the Coastal Commission. You could try the regional board, you can try the DDW, the State Water Board, whomever, and you'll find that anything related to what's been going on with CCSD, I have done my homework, and then some. So I've offered that. I've offered information to him about issues that former employees have worked on to go back and look to help him figure some things out. I haven't found that he's been receptive at all to anything that I have offered in the way of information that might help somebody brand new coming into the CCSD to learn. And I also see that he is trying to reduce the amount of reporting, in, as I mentioned earlier. I do think that he has proven to be a much more efficient general manager with his time, but I'm concerned that we're not moving ahead. We're not going anywhere. We're just kind of sitting here with delays upon delays, and I can't blame the GM for maybe any of that, you know, but I do blame the district for a lot of it. I mean, we are just not moving forward on all of these major projects that have been going on for years. We're not getting there. And so I did expect more from Mr. McElhinney's leadership, and I have not seen that. And so I'm troubled by it. I'm troubled by a person who has 2 days in the week teaching in Salinas, not here. And the kind of money he's making here, I don't understand why he really needs another job in Salinas when I think he has a full-time job right here. And so I'm troubled by that. I do see some improvements in the way he handles his job. I think he's pretty open with the public. I don't think he needs a meeting every month. I think, you know, probably he's not getting too many people showing up anymore. Initially, I thought it was a great idea. I don't see that as a great idea any longer. I think especially when you've got 2 days a week at another job, you need to be in your office working. There's a lot going on here. So while I do appreciate certain aspects of what you've brought, I do think there's definitely room for improvement. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other comment either online or in attendance?
No.
Okay, thank you. At this point, I'm adjourning to closed session and we will reconvene. We'll report out of closed session. I get the end of the closed session, I guess. Yeah.